At 301, and it is being recorded. So we need a roll call, please.
Okay, Jenna Dower. I see her.
You hear me? I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Jenna. Alyssa Henkel.
Here.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Tammy Calm.
Here.
Janet McAllister. And Laura Picado. Okay. So we do have first the approval of minutes from our last meeting on March 25th, 2024. Has everybody had a chance to review those minutes? Did anybody have any changes or corrections?
I move to approve the minutes as presented.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thanks, Tammy. Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call. Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Alyssa Henkel?
Here.
Alyssa, yes on the minute?
Yes. Sorry, yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
And Tom?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we do have a share update. You might have seen the announcement either for the listeners on the catalog that
Cassandra, can I interrupt you? Doug, do you mind muting your microphone because we're hearing your background? Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. So we do have updates on the Verizon text message issue. I don't know if you all have seen the background of what had been happening of us sending out those text messages through, we were sending them technically through an email server, which was then going to what is called a gateway to the different carriers. That's why in the registration screen, you actually had to list, you have to list what service provider your customer uses. And so with that, what happens is Verizon started throttling those messages. And so some would get through, but not all. And so that is why we were having such issues. We were not able to find a workaround and we weren't able to have, you know, we can't ask Verizon to change their business practices. The reason they started doing that is because of, you know, it's the election season. Are you guys getting tons of like, my candidate is the best and you should vote for them? You know, they're trying to prevent that. And so what we have found is that we needed to go to a third party solution. We are actually in the like literally speaking right now, Troy is on a call with Unique Management Solutions, which manages the MessageBee system. It's actually a text messaging system that will send those messages coming from Polaris to MessageBee, and then they're sending them out directly as a text message, not through an email server, not as an email transitioning into a text message. And so he's working on that now. We had hoped to have this actually launched about 2 weeks ago, but we've had some issues with Polaris kind of integrating that. And so we are really, I'm very hopeful that we'll have it done in the next day or two. Like I said, he is, they think that they found the solution and he's really hopeful that they're getting, making some progress. And so we will be putting that out to all of our members on the listservs, and then we'll be taking down the error messages about the Verizon issues as soon as that's completed. We also are really happy to announce that Aspen is making good progress. We've already got all of the public libraries set up. We're now moving on to the first phase of our schools. We are also working with specials and academics, getting everybody set up with that. And so we are on track to finish getting the catalogs set up by the end of the fiscal year, or excuse me, the end of the calendar year. And so with that, at that point, we have some other projects, some outlying things that are still, we're still trying to work on. In addition to the ePay process, ePay has not worked as expected, and we're still, the developers are still working on that. We also have started sideloading. And so that is a process where, you know, the OverDrive can be incorporated in. We've got EBSCO incorporated in. The Digital Library of Illinois has now been incorporated in. But if you do have a, like a third party that doesn't have an API connection, and so Canopy is one of the bigger names that does not, if they have MARC records, we can still load those in. And so we, all we need is usually it's just a spreadsheet of the MARC records that are involved with your library's subscription, to whatever that the case may be, like BiblioPlus or Canopy. And then we can just upload that. And we usually do it about on a monthly basis. And so Anna Wiegand, she's not here today, but she is the cataloger that's managing that. And so if you have a third party solution, for a different type of service that is not yet incorporated, you might reach out to see if they have MARC records and can be included that in that way. And so if you have somebody like that and you just want me to check, I would be happy to do that for you because we are starting the process. Okay. Alyssa, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So that's what I have for share updates today. I want to turn it over to the share team. I see since our last meeting, we might have some new faces. Andrea, I'm so sorry. I can't remember when you started with us, if we've introduced you to this committee yet. So this is Andrea Sellers. She's our new share circulation trainer. And we also have John Kirshner. He's our new member engagement specialist.
Yes, it was in April, so I have not been part of this committee yet.
So some of you may know that Danielle is out on maternity leave right now. And so Andrea has been very helpful on resolving some of the issues with Cloud Library, you know, sending out password reset links to patrons that might have trouble getting logged in. She's handling a lot of the support on that end while Danielle is out. Any other share updates from anybody on the share team? Okay. Any questions? All right. Well, we'll just move right along. We've got some new members that are joining us. We've had a couple of people who've left, and we've had a few people who have volunteered to join our committee. And so you might see some new faces today. Sherry Waldrop with Allerton Public Library District. We've got Hanky Young from Six Mile Regional Library District. And then we have Doug Roberts, Robinson Public Library District. So thank you all so much for being here today. We're so glad to have you. We just need to go ahead and get our volunteers seated. So we would just need a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to seat the new members.
Thank you, Laura.
I'll second that.
Okay, was that Alyssa?
Alyssa.
Okay, thank you, Alyssa. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Alyssa Henkel?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Tammy Kong?
Yes.
And Laura Picado?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you all for being here today again and volunteering for this committee. I hope that you really enjoy your time as we talk about Cloud Library and other types of e-resources. Next up, I had mentioned again that we don't have a chair for this committee. The person that had initially volunteered, she had to step back. And so we, I know that if I can, hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn, but Laura had volunteered in another capacity for the Share Executive Council. And I had spoken to her about that and that maybe she would be a good fit for the chair of this committee and then could also participate in the Share Executive Council in just a different way. And so, Laura, are you still interested?
Sure.
Okay. Then I would accept it. Would anybody else like to throw their hat in? Is anybody else interested in chairing this committee before we move on or want to have any discussion on that?
Please feel free. You won't hurt my feelings.
Thank you, Laura.
Then I would accept a motion for Laura to be the chair of the e-resources committee.
I will make that motion.
Thank you, Sarah.
I'll second it.
Thanks, Tammy. Okay, then we'll do another roll call vote. And for those of you joining us, the reason we do a roll call vote for everything is probably a little different than what you do at your board meetings in person. It's specifically the rules for the Open Meetings Act for virtual meetings. And so we do go through and do a roll call for any motion. So that way it's still clear. Okay, Jenna Dower.
Yes.
Alyssa Henkel. Alyssa, I'm so sorry. Did you? Not able to hear you.
Yeah, my computer doesn't seem to be working, but I said yes.
Okay, thank you, Alyssa. I got it that time.
Thanks. My quality is bad.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Tammy Kalm.
Yes.
Laura Picado.
Yes.
Sherry Waldrop.
Yes.
Erica Hanke-Young.
Yes.
And Douglas Roberts.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we will go ahead and move on to the Cloud Library report. And so I think it was at our last meeting, we had just updated everyone that Cloud Library is now under the umbrella of OCLC. It had been bought by Biblioteca. And thankfully, the majority of the Cloud Library team moved along with as part of the merger into OCLC. And so we had a couple of issues with a recent update that we had to submit some help desk tickets. There's just a new way of doing that now, but it was we have gotten exceptional service from them from my perspective. And so I think that the merger has been maybe not without a few bumps and scratches here and there, but I think has done really well. We do also have a new Cloud Library representative. It used to be Chris Herpers, and he was actually, he's not native to St. Louis, but he lived here a really long time. And so he was great to work with. He got promoted as part of this recently, got promoted into a management position. And so our representative, her name is now Christine, which she also goes by Chris. And so we see a little bit of a new face, but they've already committed to participating at IHLS Member Day. And they've always been very great support partners in our consortial platform. And so we're really we're very glad to have this new representative, but also Chris is still working in the background. So just again, we've always gotten really top-notch service from them. And so really glad that that has been a good transition. I don't really have any new data. We do have a meeting set for January to go over things like our cost per CERC and go over some of our return on investment kind of details, and that will be provided in an upcoming newsletter. We also have an upcoming annual report, and so we will be sending out information to members. It's generally with our fiscal year ending at the end of June. It's usually reporting the end of our fiscal year stats, with the exception of Cloud Library. It's usually a year behind just because that data doesn't come till the end of the calendar year for them. But we are meeting to go over some of those details and review some of that data. When we've done this in the past, they are always very impressed on how well we do with our cost per CERC, as well as the size and usage, the utilization of our collection. You know, I think last year that it was only 700 titles that had less than 5 CERCs or something like that. So we always get really great data back from that. And so we'll be bringing that to the March meeting. Any questions about the Cloud Library update?
Have we seen an uptick in checkouts since everybody's moved to ask, like, more people are now using cloud because of Aspen, meaning that more libraries have access to it, not just that it's available in the catalog?
We have still not seen that specifically, but we don't have enough of where everybody is now live since the beginning of July. What we'll do is at the next meeting, we'll have a bit more. So there's actually, Laura, there's two things going on, the change to Aspen, but it was always in our catalog, but then also of everybody having access
that part
to Cloud Library. Yeah. And so we will have more data at our next meeting when we have just a few more months of actual circulation statistics, seeing where they're coming from and that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions about Cloud Library specifically? Okay. So next up, we have our pay-per-use allocation. And so this was something that for those of you that are new, and just as a refresher, last year we made some adjustments to our percentages. And so there's a certain amount that goes towards the platform fee, which is $25,000. Since we've signed the contract, they have not increased that. It's usually a standard $25,000 for essentially the app that where people can read the ebooks. And so then there's a percentage that goes towards collection development. Some libraries choose to do their own ordering. They have a set amount and they go in, periodically. I think, Doug, your library does a pretty good volume on that. So you know exactly what I'm talking about of ordering through their carts so you can get the things that your patrons are asking for specifically. Others choose to let the SHARE and IHLS team take care of that. And so we spend money for the remainder of those funds that are allocated to the Cloud Library program. And so we generally do that on a weekly basis. A large part of our focus has been reducing holds. And I know that's always a challenge with the money that we have versus the amount of the volume that we do. But that is really a big focus for us. And then there is pay-per-use. And so pay-per-use is a program where we only do e-audiobooks, and we have it set for $2.99 per use for those that are at that price or below. So like a new Colleen Hoover is going to probably be set at $9.99. It's going to be really expensive. We're not going to get a pay-per-use for an author that is going to be doing that kind of volume, especially for a new book. But for some older backlist titles, it's really helpful. And so with that, we allocate a certain percent of our collection development budget to those pay-per-use titles. And you'll see those in the reports that 150,000 titles that are available are those pay-per-use titles. And so also in the effort of reducing hold times, pay-per-use titles are also very popular. And so we have a set budget each month, kind of like very similar to how Hoopla does it, where you set a certain amount of funds. And then once you reach that, patrons are no longer allowed to check out. So there's some limits to it. And we meet that every single month. So last year we reallocated the percentages so that, because we had a little bit of money built up in the platform expenditure line. And so with that, we reallocated that so that we could spend more towards collections and for the pay-per-use specifically. But that was really a one-time thing because we had just some money built up. This year, we're kind of back to normal where we have a certain amount allocated to membership fees to platform. And so we'd like to recommend that we change those percentages back. And so the recommended allocation would be 20% to pay per use. Let's see. So The total reserve fund now is $25,674.16. And so we just want to make sure that'll cover it for this year, but next fiscal year, if things remain the same for our fees, and they will go up a little bit, but our cloud library budget probably will not. It'll be $21,172.50 for reserve. And so we'd like to recommend that next year, the split would be 60% for collection development, 20% for pay-per-use, and 20% for the platform, instead of 25% pay-per-use and 15% for the platform.
Could you say those numbers one more time, Cassandra?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, last year we had a little bit extra in that line item. And so this year, the total reserve, it's the reserve fund for that platform fee is at $25,674.16. We only brought in $21,172.50 for that. So we're just taking advantage of money that had already been built up in that reserve fund. And so so next year we'll probably go down and we won't have quite enough to cover for the platform fee. So we would like to recommend that we bring it back to the 60% for collection development, 20% for pay-per-use, and 20% for the platform.
Do you need us to make a motion?
We do.
Okay. I would make a motion that we go along with Cassandra's plan for the 20% PPU, 60% to collection, and 20% to platform for the next fiscal year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I second.
Thank you, Doug. Okay, then we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Phyllis Hankel?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Tammy Kahn?
Yes.
Laura Picado?
Yes.
Sherry Waldrop?
Yes.
Erica Hanke Young?
Yes.
And Doug Roberts.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you all for that. All right. And the next thing that we have is just a quick note. We recently went through some training for Roberts Rules of Order. And one of the suggestions, she indicated this was just a personal pet peeve of hers, is she said it's not old business, it's unfinished business. And so she had mentioned that she would highly recommend that we don't change, that we change all of our materials to unfinished business. And she said the intent of unfinished business is specific to agendas where something had been tabled at a previous meeting and needs to be revisited. It's not where we've dealt with this before and we're going to talk about it again. And so like the automated material handler is a topic that comes up pretty frequently in committees. As you know, we were going through the RFI process and the IHLS delivery was going through the request for proposal process. That is not unfinished business. That actually, if there were ever something that we needed to go and have a discussion about, that would just come back under new business to be discussed and voted on. And so it's just a little bit different than how we've done things in the past, where we would have something that's just been kind of an ongoing conversation or something that we touch on frequently, like the Share Mobile Library or Aspen. If it's something that needs to be voted on, it would be brought back up as new unless we had tabled it. But she did say that if we don't have anything that has been tabled that needs revisited, we don't have to include that on our agenda either. So we will probably follow that guideline. And so I wanted to give everybody a heads up because you might see it look a little bit different on our agendas. Anybody have any questions about that?
No questions, it's just, it's really interesting information. And I was just thinking I could take it to the board.
I thought so too. And one of the questions, we just started talking about this with our committees. One of the questions the Share Finance and Policy Committee said was, well, what happens if you table something? Does it have to be untabled and like resolved? And we don't have a good answer for that. So I might have more information because I had always thought that sometimes there, you know, when you table something, sometimes that's where bad ideas go to die, you know? And so, but I don't know that for sure. And so our Stacey Bouchong is our IHLS executive administrative assistant, or executive assistant, I guess you could say. She's been in coordination with the person that did that parliamentary training. And so she is going to reach out to clarify that if it does need to be brought up each time and then eventually resolved, or if it's not going to be up for discussions. Like, let's say we didn't resolve the PPU allocation at this meeting and we tabled it and we were not going to plan to talk about it in March. Would it have to come back up? And so she's going to clarify that if it's more of like a, I don't know if you guys use this terminology, but we talk about the parking lot a lot. We'll put something on the agenda. We'll get to that later. And so I will have more information once she has a chance to chat with that parliamentarian to find out more information. Okay. So do we have any other new business?
Cassandra, I don't know if this would be considered new business, but I did have a question about the Aspen catalog, when we might expect the issues to be resolved with the items appearing to be here, but not.
Are you still seeing that, Laura?
Yes, ma'am. I put in an additional ticket, and I haven't heard anything back since then. So it's been a few weeks.
A few weeks. So you have items that are, is it, and I'm so sorry because I haven't seen your ticket. I'll look for it after the meeting specifically. Is it items that have been deleted that are still showing up, or is it items that the status is showing in, but it's really not available?
I think we've had a couple at both, but I know things that are showing that they're here, that they're not here, and items that we have that aren't showing up.
Okay. Please still send in help desk tickets of reports of that. Sometimes with those deleted items, we did have a section of time. You guys will probably remember the July just being a very bad time with Aspen issues. Sometimes some of those deleted items are still acting erratically, but we do have a solution to get them resolved. And so that's an easy fix. But if you're still seeing a really long delay on, sometimes the APIs can take a few minutes to catch up on items that are in, or excuse me, items that are out, but they're still showing as in. But if it's longer than just a few minutes, we definitely want a help desk ticket so that we can report that. I know that they, over the weekend, had replaced some of our servers, and they talk a lot about the reindexer is going pretty much constantly, but sometimes those reindexes get bumped, I guess, overnight for a myriad of reasons. But generally, the APIs should be running pretty quickly to catch up with things that are in or out. So if we're still seeing that, that's definitely a different issue. We want to make sure that we get that resolved.
Well, and as of the last ticket I put in, it was for those items that it would say, oh, I've got one now, that it says, you see the icon for it, you click on it, it says the library does not own any copies of this title.
But you do have an available copy.
Yeah, we should. Like, it's sometimes they're for recently purchased items. It's showing up in the catalog. It's just not, but when you click on it, it doesn't says you don't own a copy of it. So we don't know for these particular things, because there's no way to really see. But sometimes some of them we definitely do, because we've gone further and looked to try to find it, or it's a recent purchase and it's like an on order record. So I think we're getting a combination of errors there.
Okay. I'll look at your tickets specifically, but anytime you're seeing something that is unexpected or unusual, please definitely submit a report so we can investigate.
Okay.
Dina always asks for screenshots, which I think is just helpful, because you can, you know, truly see, you know, so if Laura takes a screenshot of like, oh, it's saying we don't have this book and you know that you do, then that's helpful.
And I know that they thought it was resolved, but then I put in an additional ticket and unfortunately it wasn't at the time. So I just thought, okay, well, I don't want to bombard you with tickets if you're still working on it.
Well, and I totally get that. But my understanding is I knew that we had some issues with some on-order records that they were still investigating. But the issues with things showing as not available or is available when they really were not, I think that the majority of those issues are resolved, to my understanding. So if they're not, we definitely want to continue finding out why.
Okay, then I'll keep an eye out for it. Because just on a basic, like our new items, I clicked on two of them and I come up with the same thing. The library does not own a copy of this.
Okay.
And again, I'm not exactly sure why on these particular ones, but it's weird.
Yeah, I will. Certainly, like I said, I think we have a ticket open with on order records specifically. And so I'll investigate these a little bit further. And we'll use that as an example.
All Jennifer, right. Thank did you?
We do have that ticket open. And I'm actually going to add to it. We have another library who has an order with problem with DVDs or Blu-ray showing up as the opposite format. So I'm going to throw that in there and I will follow up as well.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a very good question, Laura. Thank you so much.
Can I make a comment on what Dina put in the chat box? I don't know if y'all clicked on it. Just the numbers in July of 2020 versus the numbers in July of 2024. I was just surprised that the number of ebooks that served in those years have gone down. I don't know if I'm reading that correctly.
Well, I pulled that. I did the screenshot and then it dawned on me. July of 2020, we were in the height of COVID. And I looked at the numbers, okay. And I'm like, that's a big difference.
Okay.
And then I looked at my date again and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Because we're back to quote unquote normal now, that is. But I'm always surprised. Danielle sends those numbers out every month at the beginning of the month. And I love looking at those numbers, because just in my tenure here at IHLS, how I've seen them go up and up and up and up and up. It's amazing, because I'm an ebook person. I personally get offended if I have to manually turn the page of a book. I am so used to ebooks. So I love seeing these numbers.
Yeah. I actually did the reports for August, and it doesn't look like we've had a huge uptick. I think that when we initially had started talking about the making it available to everyone, there weren't very many libraries that didn't have e-resources available. And so we kind of assumed that it was still going to, you know, people have their preferences. And so if you're a library that offers like Hoopla or Overdrive, you're not necessarily going to see numbers go down, unless the Aspen collection was the great thing. You might actually start to see, you know, if we have a copy and the other platform doesn't, or the holds, you know, if we don't have a hold on it and somebody wants it more immediately, that we might start to see that. But I didn't anticipate a huge jump, and I haven't seen that yet. But we won't really be able to tell until we have a few months to start to see a trajectory.
Yeah, I was just curious because our hoopla has gone up. We haven't made our budget since since Aspen started. Definitely people are able to see that more readily and they're using it.
That's
I
great.
would second that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
It is
wonderful.
great. It's a good problem to have, but now we're like, oh, we need to make sure we have more money budgeted towards that so we don't have to put more limits.
Didn't I think somebody told me that you can actually turn off your hoopla? Is that correct, Cassandra?
You can.
You
There's a lot of
can.
scoping options. And so you can have it so that if you have Overdrive or Cloud Library that has that title, you can have it. I think there's two different settings where you can say, oh, no, if Cloud Library or Overdrive has a copy, then don't include it as a Hoopla record.
Wow.
Or vice versa. If, is you could have it set so only show Hoopla if there's no availability. So if you have to place a hold, then show Hoopla. So there's a couple of different settings that you can play around with. You also have the option, like if you don't want to have music with explicit lyrics, you can have settings for different audience types. And so there's a lot of things that you can do. I'll go ahead and post in the chat the it's the Aspen page FAQs, and there's a little video on how to do that scoping. And so I will get that. And so for those of you that use Hoopla and might want to look at your budget and how to maybe maximize that. We also have some really, I don't know if it's good news, it's interesting news about Aspen for the different formats. It used to be that book came first and then everything else was alphabetical. And so we had a member library had said, hey, can I move? I think that was the Hoopla question of e-comics was coming up because of alphabetical order before graphic novels, and that was directing them to the Hoopla collection. At the time, we could only it had to be in alphabetical order with just a print book first. Now they're saying with the newest update, we can actually reorder that the facets of the formats. And so we can choose, like book and large print and then DVD and then, and we can really customize it. And so that's definitely a bigger discussion I think that we were going to have at the circulation and resource sharing committee to see if we were going to do that and what that would look like of where those different formats would go, like in what order.
But
And so
Sandra, are you saying that you can do that system-wide or library-specific?
I think it is system-wide. So
Okay.
if we're going to have to do it, we're going to have to do it. Like I said, it's a bigger, definitely a bigger conversation. So here is our Aspen page, and towards the bottom is our FAQs. It'll be under e-resources, and it's a video. You know what? And I could probably give this a little bit, give you the URL directly to the video a little bit easier. So that's the YouTube video showing the scoping options for Hoopla for those of you that use it. Oh, I can't hear you.
Initially, before a new fiscal year, we had put limits on the like the max cost per item for Hoopla that you could check out to stay with our budget. But then we removed those, and we'd like to keep it removed, but we haven't hidden anything from our catalog. Because there's a lot of different options with that. And we feel like kind of you do, Cassandra. It's like that. We know people have their preferences, so we don't want to hide it from them. At the
Right.
same time, we may have to make modifications so we stay within our budget.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Hoopla is such a great resource, and the more successful you are, obviously, the more expensive it is. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay, any other questions or a public comment? Okay. Do we have any announcements? Just a brief announcement. I had mentioned that Danielle is out on maternity leave. She had a beautiful baby girl. Her name is Fiona, and mom and baby are both doing well. So we're very excited. We haven't actually got to see little Fiona in person yet, but hopefully We will in the Edwardsville office get to visit with her when they're feeling up for it. So, okay. So our next meeting will be Monday, March 24th at 3 p.m. And again, I'm so excited to see some of the new faces today. And thank you again, everybody. Thank you, Laura, also for volunteering to chair this committee as well. Okay. Well, I hope everybody has a great afternoon, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Cassandra.
Thanks. Bye.